What kind of reputation do you think Perth enjoys as a place to live and to visit? How is it perceived by those who don't even visit, who might otherwise not give it a second thought? Are we individualistic and unique? Or are we just another Australian city? Today saw the release of Perth's Reputation Survey, an important piece of research being used by the Committee for Perth to shape the way we might present ourselves to the world in the hope of broadening the economy, creating jobs, and I guess evolving as a 21st century place. And I'm delighted to be joined by Marion Fulker from the Committee for Perth and Sally Bradwood from Ipsos, who conducted the research. Thank you both very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Marion, firstly to you, why did you commission this research? How will it inform what the committee wants to achieve?
Well, we did a project about the economy, and one of the things that we found was we just don't have a distinctive brand. And rather than jumping to a logo and a tagline, we thought we probably should test a few things.
Yeah.
And one of those was, what's our reputation locally, but what is it on the East Coast? And then we also put in some outlying cities in Auckland and Singapore as well. So we really wanted to have a very good evidence base of which we could talk about how would we expand the economy by having more visitors, more people investing here, and more international students studying.
You just invite the question. You got a bit tired of the logo and the tagline. They're not substantial, are they?
They're not. And I think that when you don't have a prominent one, people make up one for themselves. And Charlesville has been Perth's, and West Australia's been known as Waitawa. So we just haven't had those very prominent, very strong positioning brands that everyone would accept is representative of us.
So, Sally, what did you learn?
We probably learned we busted some myths and we maybe confirmed some. So we busted some in that, look, we do have pride in our city, us who live in Perth. We are proud of Perth and we do see it as a great place to live and work and to visit. We certainly saw some downfalls when it comes to Perth as somewhere to study and somewhere to invest. So two key areas that were definitely weaker than other cities. And we also found that whilst we have evolved as a citizenship and we are seeing, you know, more of the positives about Perth, still a quarter of us will revert back to that Dullesville tag when we talk about ourselves and we talk about Perth. And that's actually stronger internally than it is externally. So other people looking at Perth, they're not saying that. We're saying it about ourselves.
It is really interesting. I looked at a couple of things and there's quite a disparity between our belief that we are friendly, welcoming and community-minded and how others might see it. So 36% of the sample group of Perth people said, yes, we are, and only 17% on the outside said we were. Should we be a little concerned with that? We're great people. We're this, we're that. And others go, yeah, you're all right.
Well, I think that where there was strong commonality was Perth's a great place to live and we've got a great natural environment. So there was good accord there. But the next one down is the one that you're referring to now. And there was a sense that perhaps we aren't as opening, welcoming and tolerant of others. And maybe that goes to this, you know, this best kept secret thing that we keep talking about. It's great for us, but we don't want anyone else to come.
This is such a good question. And we should really pose this more extensively on this program too. 1300 222 720. Is Perth as friendly as it thinks it is? Is it as friendly as it should be? Jeff, I totally agreed with the last comment you read out. I'm Irish. I lived here for 5 years. All my other close friends are either blow-ins from all over the world. Perth locals aren't willing to take the time to get to know new people, which further highlights their small-town mindset. But how about this? Because in some ways it seems we're quite hard on ourselves. 24% of us reckon that Perth is just average, and yet far fewer, 9% of non-Perth residents thought so. So we're a little too optimistic, a little too negative. How do you read it, Sal?
Look, I think it's a case of, I don't want to say a confused city because we know ourselves, we know what our strengths and weaknesses are, but I think what we don't have, and Marion pointed to it, is a really easily accessible narrative about who we are and why we're great and why we're different. And we have evolved a lot as a city in the last 10 years. There's been a lot of change, a lot of infrastructure investment. I think some of us are still coming to grips with what that means for Perth and who we are. And there isn't this easily accessible way to talk about ourselves. So some of us, we fall back to that Dullesville narrative.
Sally, is it unusual that residents of a city see themselves differently to how outsiders do?
It's not. It's definitely a case of something we see a lot with the city work that we do around the world in reputation. You do have a slightly different view. You do hope there's synergy, though, across the really critical factors. And certainly we see the really great cities have done that. And they've embedded that sense of pride and a common sense of pride internally and externally.
On Drive this afternoon, Sally Bradwood, the Director of Ipsos Australia New Zealand, and Marion Fulker from the Committee for Perth are my guests. We're talking about Perth's Reputation Survey, a really important piece of work that will inform some of the decisions that the Committee for Perth will try and take. Marion, what specifically is encouraging to you in this survey, and what told you there might be a perception problem?
Well, I think the encouraging things are that we have got the beautiful natural environment and that we are a great place to live. So we've got that quality of life element really going on, but it doesn't sound very sexy and I can't imagine it being on a tagline anywhere. So the other things you could say where we're falling down are actually opportunities for us to address. So rather than sort of beating ourselves up, we could say, actually, we've got to be better. I think one of the real insights, though, was if people are going to encourage their children to come and study here, they want to know that really innovative business and headquarters are here as well. Now, their kids may never touch either of those two, but they want to know they're in a city that's really going somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's one area where we are falling behind.
We have had this discussion with you. I've had this discussion with many politicians over the years about whether or not we are capitalising on the idea of Western Australia, Perth specifically, being Australia's Indian Ocean hub. The place from which we shine our light to Asia, and we operate in the same clocks. Do we need to more aggressively embrace that and not wait for it to happen?
Absolutely. And Singaporeans are the most positive out of the five survey cities. They love Perth. They are just so positive about it and on all measures. So they just don't see it as a great place to visit. They see it as a great, safe place to invest. They want their children to come down and study here. So we've got a market just north of us that's closer than Sydney and we're not tapping into it.
Okay, so how will you use this data? What happens next?
So we've still got a lot more data gathering to go, but this is a really important piece of work. And ultimately we will get to writing a series of strategies and recommendations which we'll take to government, because this lack of a brand is really concerning and it's city-to-city competition now, Jeff. It used to be country-to-country, it used to be province-to-province, now it's city-to-city, and Perth is one of thousands of mid-tier cities.
And that's right, a mid-tier city that locals are very proud of, that has lots of lovely assets, but does it have the things that truly differentiate it from other cities? So if I asked you, Sally, is Perth in many ways seen as just another Australian city, and Australia is full of nice cities and coastal areas?
Almost worse than that. You know, we've taken a theme throughout the report. We've really seen we're almost putting all our eggs in one basket and relying on the fact that we're a beautiful place. We have a great natural environment, but there are beautiful places all across the world, and it's more and more challenging for a city to stand out on that alone. And what we have seen for Perth, though, that what is in our favour is whilst our brand is potentially weak and our reputation is weaker externally, when people come here, we're exceeding expectations. So we looked at the ratings of those who are basing it just on perception, they've never been here, versus those who've actually come and experienced Perth, and there's a plus 29 point gap. So there's a huge difference in coming. We exceed expectations. So from that trial perspective, just get people here because it's a positive experience.
I'm really interested in how people respond. Mark says, Perth is a wonderful place to live, but I think like a spoilt child with very nice toys, we don't like to share, and that is what creates the unfriendly vibe for visitors. Look, I think Mark may not agree with it, but I think Mark is putting forward a proposition that we have to look at.
Absolutely. And, you know,
I was worried your lips might be a bit pursed then, Marion.
No, absolutely not. Look, I'm an outsider. I came here 32 years ago and I absolutely love the place and probably are one of its greatest advocates. But Ipsos did touch people who are business decision makers and influencers, and they're not doing their bit either. So it's not just the Perth general community.
Yes.
People who are very prominent in our community who have got those great networks overseas and across the eastern seaboard, and they're not doing their bit either.
Well, here's the question. Greg in North Beach says, I'm born and bred in Perth. It was a great city before it became an overpopulated, congested and crowded city in the last 10 years. I rest my case when I listen to your story today on stresses in our hospitals. My question for someone like Greg is, if you keep it as small as it has been, what's it going to be like in 10 years? Marion and Sally, if Perth does not look to extend itself, what will it be in 10 years?
Well, I think Greg's got a point, because highly livable cities are often cities that are sub 5 million.
Yeah.
So Sydney and Melbourne are getting to that break point now where they're probably not as good as they once were. But we've been playing catch up on infrastructure. And that is only proportional to population.
Yes.
We don't have population growth, we don't get growth in infrastructure. And that includes schools, hospitals, as well as stadiums and all the other trinkets that might come. And we're not a self-sustaining economy either if we don't have a critical mass of people. And so even when you're talking about having a homegrown sort of cultural offering, you don't have enough bums on seats, the shows don't go on.
Yeah. And we know that that is one of the challenges. Marion Fulker, it's great to see you. And Sally Bradwood, thank you very much for coming in. We'll keep watching the progress of hashtag Perth, which is more than a logo and a tagline. But we'll see what the Committee for Perth come up with. And this is a conversation I wouldn't mind if we continued tomorrow too. We're about to head off into the digital realm or go off to the footy. But I'd love to talk to you on the program tomorrow about the perceived friendliness or otherwise of this place, and that theory that maybe we are this wonderful secret that we've never much liked sharing with others. Shall we dispense with it or will we validate it? Let's talk about that on the program tomorrow. Sally and Marion, thank you very much for coming in.